Hello, lovely hogs. Andrew here, and we are so excited to bring Trusty Hogs Live all over the world. Yes, as you listen to this, we have one date left in Australia at the Sydney Factory Theatre. That is on the 27th of April. And then we are back in the Northern Hemisphere with Dublin. Yes, we are so excited to come to Ireland for the first time. We're bringing Trusty Hogs Live to the Laughter Lounge on the 4th of June. Tuesday the 4th of June in Dublin, there's going to be an Irish history lecture from Heather. There's going to be drunken karaoke. There's going to be problem solving. All sorts of chaos. All the usual. It is not to be missed. Make sure you get your tickets early because we are expecting to sell out. TrustyHogs.com/tour for all the tickets and info. That's Dublin on the 4th of June. Then we are into July with Bristol, Brighton, Edinburgh in August, London at the Clapham Grand on the 16th of October, and then we close out our tour in Manchester on the 6th of November. So make sure you go to TrustyHogs.com/tour. Get your tickets quick because some of these are already sold out. Some of them are very nearly there, and we cannot wait to see you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to episode 111 of Trusty Hogs. This is the episode where we talk about our perfect lives. I'm comedian Catherine Bohart. You are comedian Helen Bauer. We've been recording two episodes today and I feel loco crazy bananas. Hello.
Loco crazy bananas.
Through the fog, step forth the Trusty Hogs. Yeah, you're gonna give them your problems and they will solve them. Or maybe they won't, and that's your problem. They'll have guests and Andrew White on the tech. Oh, it's Helen and Catherine as the Trusty Hogs. Trust the Trusty Hogs, or maybe not.
How are you, girl?
I'm so good.
Yeah, how you feeling? What you up to? What's going
I'm
on for you?
So good. So much is going on for me, Catherine.
Tell me everything.
My mind's literally blanking right now. I have an observation.
Oh gosh, okay, go on.
When people in films are replaced with a stunt double,
yeah,
it's obvious. Okay. I was watching a bit of Blades of Glory. Have you seen
it? No.
Ice skating film. Wonderful
oh,
stuff.
I have seen it with Barbie, Margot Robbie.
Is she in it? No.
No, I'm thinking of the one based on Tanya Harding.
I, Tanya. That is such a good film.
So what's Blades of Glory?
Blades of Glory is the guy from Napoleon Dynamite
Will
Ferrell.
I've seen that. Very different film and I haven't seen it.
Okay. And they
but are
like...
are they not trying to make it look obvious because it's like funny?
Maybe they are, but it is insane. Because I remember the first time I noticed that someone was swapped in a TV show or a film.
Which was?
Malcolm in the Middle. Hal doing a rollerblading lesson.
Oh my god, yeah!
And I was like, that is not him. And I felt so smart. I felt so
but
behind
that was
the
part
camera.
Of that joke though, as well. Wasn't it
probably was, but as a child, I was like,
wasn't
I see what you did
joke?
There. Genuinely?
From my memory, it was like so obvious that it was like obviously part of the joke.
Okay, Blades of Glory is so obvious, but then you see the production quality in something like, what are the other ice skating films? Do you remember The Ice Princess?
No.
Okay, it was a Disney movie. And it was a girl who was like, I'm going to be a princess on the ice, an ice skating queen. And it was the girl from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. The one that everyone hates. Neither of us watch Buffy, do we?
No, we do. Do you mean Eliza, what's her name, who played Faith?
I didn't watch it.
What? Okay. Well, okay. What about Princess Ice?
I think her character's name is Dawn on Buffy.
Dawn.
Maybe I've got that wrong. Emma Black would know. Emma Black rang me this morning. Guess what she's got? Someone who lives really close to her runs a massage business from her house, like literally from her house. But like Emma would call her up and be like, do you have an appointment? She's like, oh, sure. Do you want to come over now? Just come in your pajamas. So Emma can wander down her street and get a massage in her pajamas.
Oh my God. Heaven.
And I was like, are you fucking joking? She rang me. I was on FaceTime and like Sunil was in the room. And Sunil was like, are you fuck, that's an actual thing that exists. Could you imagine?
I'd lose all my money to a massage. Masseuse,
my neighbours are mad. Last night, one of my neighbours told me that he would burn my recycling for me if he wanted. Like, I was doing that thing. So recycling was this morning. And because of the new wardrobe and the new bed and stuff, I've got so much cardboard.
Of course.
Because, like, just furniture that actually is quality and it's oak and it's not going to break. And I've bought for life. And that's what you get with oak. That's solid. So I was like, right, I'm getting this proper furniture in. Got loads of cardboard. Sunil obviously gets all his deliveries. He bought a blankie for the first time. Can you believe it?
With the Highland Coos.
The Highland Coo one. Ridiculous. I told you about this, didn't I, on the phone?
Ridiculous.
It's like, you know, when you finally, like, break a man to the point where it's like they just realise they actually like these sweet comforts.
I've never really gotten that far with one, but I understand what you're saying.
He owns a blankie with Highland Cows print
That's
on it.
That's really cute.
And it's wool. And when I came in last night super late, he was wearing it as a cape, just wandering around with his little Highland Cow cape.
Has he heard of dressing gowns?
Yeah, he's a dressing gown as well. Oh, he's so silly and little.
Although, I know I said dressing gown because I call it a house coat, but yeah.
But you're trying to appease me.
I guess so.
With the actual Irish nonsense.
What's, so, speaking of...
The recycling, I have to tell you what my neighbour said.
Okay, great. And then I want to ask you a question.
Okay. So I was like putting it all out at like 1 a.m. So I came back really late for my gig, right?
Okay.
And I'm putting it out on the street for the tractor man. And he was like, God, that's a lot of recycling. And I was like, oh yeah, this is new furniture. And he went, oh, just shove it there. Because some neighbours are getting like work done. And there's like a pile of like shit in their front garden. And I was like, oh, well, no, because it's got our address all over it. They'll figure it out very quickly.
Yeah.
And then he was like, if you want, I could. And then he showed me his lighter and like started burning. And I was like, no, definitely don't do that. Definitely don't do that.
No, thank you.
Don't do that, sir.
No, thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. No, thank you, sir.
Thank you, no, thank you,
Gave me an absolute creepsies. But the good news is the recycling man took it this morning. But because it was so much, I was like, I wonder if they actually will take it. But then when I was making coffee, I could see them arrive. And I was like, I don't want to watch, but I do want to watch.
Yeah.
So I was like halfway behind a curtain, like this, just like looking at them.
Yeah.
And then I had more recycling in the house, which like would just have to be loose because the recycling bin's totally full. And I was going to run out. And I thought, you know what? Leave it, Helen. Wait for them to go and then you fill it up immediately and let your neighbours hate you.
That's my girl.
And that's what I've done.
That is my girl. Good for you.
And I'm still recycling to this day.
Good for you. I've had so much rubbish in the house because there's like a limited number of black bins, which I'm not used to. I'm used to like...
You take it to the street. Yeah.
Yeah, but in this case, obviously, it's like a completely reasonable number of bins usually if someone isn't moving in and you aren't clearing out everything in the house.
Mm-hmm.
But insofar as the context is such that we are, I've had to keep bags and bags of rubbish in my car, and I just, every time the bins are emptied, I just refill them, and I think everyone hates me. But that's fine.
Is it not to the point where you might want to go to like a what's it called? A skip.
A tip?
A tip.
Yeah, but I can't figure out how to do that.
I know. Me and Sunil did it once. Okay.
Yeah, but not in your local area.
No, you go on a website, you find your local tip.
I tried that, obviously, but I couldn't.
And you drive to it and you go, hello, we're here for our appointment. It's so fun. We had the best time.
But I couldn't figure it out. So maybe I'll try again. Okay, I'll try again.
I'll show you how to do it. And then you drive up and they go, here's your electricals, here's your fabrics, here's your miscellaneous. And then you just go around just chucking stuff. And
that
it's so silly.
Fun,
and there's like so many guys at work there, no teeth amongst them. It's incredible. Like, I don't know where they find them. And then that's it. Then you just drive off with an empty car.
That sounds very nice, to be fair. And what I then want to do when it's all done after that whole move is, God, I'm so boring. I'm just telling you my admin, but what I'm desperate to do is get the car valeted so that it's just clean again and delicious. And
does it not smell like coconut anymore?
Oh, no, it smells of the Jo Malone stuff I have in it now. I have a Jo Malone car diffuser that my friend gave me when I got my car. And Georgie got me a bin for my car.
I've met the bin.
It's fantastic. So, the car, it will be lovely again once it's valeted. How boring. What I wanted to ask you was, what is the best worst Christmas movie that you would recommend to people who want to be in their Highland Coo blankets watching something trash? Personally, for me, there was a couple of years ago I had on Netflix. Oh my God, what's it called? Is it called like A New York Christmas Eve or something?
That sounds like a film.
Genuinely. And it features the ghost of the aborted baby of one of the lesbians who are the leads. And the whole thing looks like it was shot on like a Nokia 10.
This is not real. A Nokia 10.
3310.
A Nokia 10.
A Nokia 3310.
You remember the Nokia 3310? Well, you should have seen the 10.
You know what I mean. You know what I mean, bitch. You know what I mean, though.
That's insane. So the ghost of the aborted baby is a character.
Is played by a character who you don't realise that's what he is. Or maybe spoiler. But it's honestly such a good watch. It's like really funny. So I just have to find the group chat that I'm in with Georgie and her mom, because we put all of our bad Christmas movies in there.
You have a group chat for bad Christmas movies?
Yeah.
I'd recommend going on ITVX. they've got like a massive film platform on there. I watched Fried Green Tomatoes the other day on there.
Great film.
It's a great film.
Oh, I loved that film so much.
Highly recommends. Highly recommends Fried Green Tomatoes. It is very sad though, so watch it at the right time. Also, random moments of comedy. It's got everything. But if you go to the bottom, it is just like a Christmas village, a Christmas cabin, a Christmas lady in the woods who doesn't get killed but falls in love, a Christmas candle shop. And it's all just like straight sexual relationships where they fall in love on Christmas Eve and by Christmas Day they're married. And sometimes Dolly Parton's there, which I always see as a bonus.
So I can't find the New York Christmas.
If you are listening to this and you don't, if you've watched that film, please send it in to us. I would genuinely be curious. Because part of me is worried this might have been a dream.
I also, did you watch A Castle for Christmas with
A castle?
Brooke Shields.
Yes! Oh my God, I forgot about that one.
Oh my God.
That was like last year.
Yeah, and his name's like...
oh no, we're not watching you trying to remember people's names,
no,
babe.
No, I've got it written down. His name, the castle is called Dun Dun Bar, which means hail on a hill, which I remember Georgie's mom was like, for fuck's sake, it doesn't even make any sense. And it's like, correct.
Dun Dun Bar.
It's New York Christmas.
I like Miracle on 34th
no,
Street,
I'm
not the classic
about the bad
one.
Ones.
But like the bad ones I also enjoy. Like it'd be hard for me to identify it as bad, apart from the Polar Express.
I think the Christmas gay movie with Kristen Stewart, the
Happiest Season.
Happiest Season is dog
shit. Wait, what's so Happiest bad. Season
so
about?
It's so bad. So Kristen Stewart is going home with her very posh New Yorker-ish or whatever girlfriend, and her best friend, played by Dan Levy, is like, have a great time with your girlfriend.
I love Dan Levy.
And the girlfriend's like, sidebar, they don't know I'm out.
Yeah.
And her dad like runs for local politics or something. Anyway, there's like a constant joke about Kristen Stewart's girlfriend and between her and her family about how Kristen Stewart's like an orphan, and they're like, ha ha ha, you're an orphan the whole time. And also the girlfriend's trash and treats her terribly. And then she meets the greatest woman alive, Aubrey Plaza, when she's there.
I love Aubrey Plaza.
They have clear and incredible chemistry, and then we're supposed to be like excited that she's with this like weird wasp who hates herself. And then Dan Levy the whole time is like, but you don't really know why. It is honestly like a perfect cast with a terrible plot.
Okay.
Am I wrong?
No, that's bang on.
Thank you so much.
It is also called A New York Christmas Wedding.
A New York Christmas Wedding.
It's please check
baby,
it out.
Baby, I'm going to watch this weekend.
Please.
I want to.
It's so fun to watch and be like, huh? The whole time you're like, huh?
Wait, so the options are for me this Sunday evening is to watch A New York Christmas Wedding by myself, or Olga Koch has sent me a message that she has an extra ticket to a gay panto called Sleeping Beauty Takes the Prick.
That's phenomenal. You have to do that.
I think I have to. Shall
you
I respond
have to
say
Sleeping
yes,
Beauty
please.
Takes the Prick. You have to go to that.
Okay, I have to go to it.
You must.
But I also want to watch this Christmas film.
You can watch it. There's plenty of time till Christmas.
Actually, I'm decorating for Christmas on the 1st.
Is that
of
the Monday?
December. So that is
Wednesday.
It's a Friday. It's a Friday. So, and that would have happened by now.
Oh, I'll be doing it on the 27th of November.
And I just want, I just like, I want to have like the most wholesome Christmas day, because last year we decorated for Christmas and it was wholesome. But Sunil had a couple of his little boys over, Eddie Hare and Nick Ellery. Not little, 30 and 50. But they had McDonald's and I was decorating and my tree broke, but I refused to get rid of it, and I've got it again this year because it's still broken, but I don't give a shit. And like, I was trying to be wholesome, but they were like eating Big Mac and like fighting over nuggets and things.
Yikes.
And like this year, because it's like a whole new me now since I got the air fryer this week.
Of course. Yes, so you got an air fryer. Congratulations.
Since I'm an air fryer owner.
How much did it cost you on Black Friday?
$69.99.
That's pretty good and a funny number. And and what have you made?
Chicken nuggets. And my first thing I made in it to practice with, I had like, you know, potato waffles, but when they're in the shape of letters, alphabetti bites, alphabets, you know?
Alphabetis? Is it like smiley faces? But
in, yeah, but in okay, letters, yeah, you can like spell things out. It is silly.
Okay.
So I had a bag of those, but I had some left. So I put them straight in. And I was like, I cannot believe how fast this has cooked them.
Really?
This
how quick are we talking?
Oh, we're talking 6 minutes.
But here's my question.
With no preheating.
Wow. Here's my question.
Yeah.
What I have experienced from watching other people is the only person I know who has an air fryer used to have this like big grease stain above it, like where the grease gets, the, like the oil gets pulled out of it, doesn't it? Do you know what I'm saying? Like the.
I mean, I've literally used it 3 times.
I know, but just like, is that a common part of it? And like, watch out for that. And like, do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't know anyone who has an air fryer.
I also think a grease stain would bother you a lot differently than it would bother me.
A big grease stain?
Yeah, we'll just wipe it off.
Yeah, but like...
Also, it's good because then you can see the grease that you're not eating. Also, here's the thing. This is what I'm doing. This is my favourite meal at the moment.
Helen puts a frame around the grease stain and is like,
health.
Art.
This is what I didn't choose to put in my body this week. So what I'm eating, this is what I'm obsessed with. And you know when you go through a phase of a meal and you're like, this is all I want?
Yeah.
Because I got stuck on an algorithm of people... actually did have that yesterday morning and it was an absolute slay. It was gorgeous. Not Christmas chucky porridge, just regular chucky porridge.
Sure.
And I was like, okay, I was watching like all these people like going and eating in Korean convenience stores. Uh-huh. Like there's an algorithm you can get on and it's just people eating in Korean convenience stores and they get like this thing of ice and they pour the drink into it from a pouch.
Have you
it's
ever
just
read
so
the
cute
book
cool.
Convenience Store Woman?
No.
Oh, it's brilliant.
You give to Helen.
Yeah, it's really good.
You had a book you said you were going to bring me today. You didn't bring it.
Oh my God, yes. And I have a book for him as well. So both of you come to my library and then I'll write in my book that I lent them to you and I will remember and I expect them to come back in perfect condition.
I'm gonna fuck with the colour coding. I'm not joking. I'm not going to do that.
That's not funny.
But so all I eat at the moment are Bodak noodles in the hot chicken flavor. They are so spicy.
What is a Bodak noodle?
It's like it's a brand of like ramen noodles, but they're wok style, so like they're really like saucy.
Do they come in a soup like ramen?
No, you cook them in like a pan so they like simmer down.
Bodak noodles,
they're insane. I get this hot chicken flavor. And
where'd you get it?
It is like any Asian supermarket.
Okay, because there's an Asian supermarket around the corner from me.
There's one around the corner from there.
Can you
everywhere.
Get a vegetarian flavour?
For sure, you can get a kimchi flavoured one. Okay,
oh, I don't know how
so like I put that in the pan and I cook. And then I fry an egg in a smaller pan, okay?
Okay.
And I get it all sauced up and ready. And then I put some cheese in it. Because
that's what they do.
It's like a Korean thing.
This says Bodak.
Okay, maybe it's Bodak. Yes, that black packet I have, the hot chicken one.
So why are you saying Bodak?
And then
Bodak?
I put some spring onions in it.
Cheese in the noodles. Go back a second.
So you put cheese in it, some spring onions, and then a fried egg on top, and it is the warmest, spiciest, cheesy, chewy goodness. And if I'm really hungry, I put in some other noodles, like some plain noodles I have, into the pan as well, so I get more noodles.
But I just can't imagine it with the, like, a cooked with cheese.
But that's mental to me because you haven't tried it, so you're blacking yourself out. Blanking yourself out? Apologies. You have to give it a go. Because if you don't try it, you'll never know. And it's genuinely incredible. Okay. But the only thing is, it really burns whilst eating it because it's so spicy.
What
and if it,
it
burns on the way in, it'll burn on the way out. I'll tell you that for nothing.
No.
It tastes like, I can't remember what the flavour's called,
I
but chilli.
Like spicy though. Too spicy.
Well, don't get the hot chicken flavour.
Well, I wouldn't. I don't eat chicken.
Yeah, well, get like a milder version of it. It's so good.
Okay.
Also, it's really nice that it's like so quick in the pan.
Yeah.
Like it takes no time at all. And also this is what I do with the air fryer. I put some chicken nuggets in the air fryer and then I cut the chicken nuggets up and it's like I've got grilled chicken, not grilled, battered, but on top of it. So it's like chicken and the meal.
Hell.
And that's a protein. And that's protein. And then I also bought a packet of bok choy. Have I used it yet? No. But it's there because my intentions are good.
I was about to be like, where's the veg in all this?
My intentions are
in
good.
The fridge.
But I have to stop eating it. Like Sunil's like, it just smells all the time like this noodle powder. And I'm like, but I'm addicted to it and I will not stop eating it until I'm sick.
Right.
And I haven't been yet. I mean, a lot of antacids. But then I thought that was bad. But then one of the girls online who's eating it all the time, she takes her Tums before she eats it, which is the American antacids. Now I do that.
Is it helping?
Yeah, a little bit. Definitely digestional problems for about 5 hours afterwards.
You don't
but
wanna,
it's so nice.
You don't want to stereotype and be like, Americans are less intelligent. But then like when you hear they have to name antacids Tums, you're like, oh God, okay.
I never thought about that, but that's so silly.
Maybe they're just sweeter. Maybe they're just sweeter guys.
Tums.
Tums.
Oh, but I think we've got forehead, don't we?
What's forehead?
Forehead is like the English version of Tiger Balm, and you just like rub it on your forehead.
No.
But it's spelled like the numerical 4 head.
Hey.
Yeah.
But you don't do that with Tiger Balm. You put Tiger Balm on sore muscles, don't you?
I put Tiger Balm on my temples when I get a headache.
Do you?
Yeah.
That's pretty close to your eyes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, God. Yeah, it's awful.
I don't think
that's
right.
I put it on sometimes and like go to sleep on the pillow and then I turn over and turn back, but I've misjudged on the turn back. Yeah. But your eye stops hurting eventually.
I don't think that's right.
Yeah. No, I don't know. You're not meant to put it in there.
No, I don't know about any of that.
I don't know about it either. Do you want to bring on our guest?
I guess so. Maybe he'll know.
Because my instinct is to tell you about
know.
My cyst, so.
No, thank you, please. Welcome to the podcast,
Nathan Foad.
Oh, spoiler, if you have heart problems, please be advised that this is a startling episode.
Catherine's on a pranking trail.
Well, I think you all heard last week's prep for this, and I think you're about to get pranked if your name is Nathan Foad. Watch it on YouTube, though, seriously.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, welcome to the plugging section. Do not skip! Do not skip it. On March 2nd next year, I will be doing my show one last time at the Earth in Hackney.
Pretty
it's
cool.
It's a massive venue. It's like 700 seaters. And when you go on the ticket link to buy a ticket, which you must, please, it's going to be so much fun. I'm going to be doing a split bill with Olga Cox. So she'll be doing an hour. I'll be doing an hour. We're going to design some cocktails. It's going to be the ultimate night out. Please join us. Tickets are available now.
We are all coming to Leicester on the 10th of February. So you can see Every Single Hog as a solo stand-up. And you can also see Trusty Hogs live, starting at 12:30 with Helen's show. Then I'm on at 2 o'clock at Duffy's. Then Catherine's at 3:30, so you can see us all back to back. Then there's a bit of a gap until Trusty Hogs live at 9:45. I'm also doing a work in progress at 8:30, but prioritise those first four because that'll be your big day out.
Yeah.
10th of February, Leicester Comedy Festival.
Hydrate on that
yes,
day.
Yeah.
Hello, it's Catherine. Also, please don't skip this. I know it's promo and it's boring, but here I am. I'm going on tour with a show called Again with Feelings, and my tour is going to be in London Soho Theatre for 2 weeks in March, and then I'm going to Brighton, Aldershot, Edinburgh, Glasgow, York, Newcastle, Norwich, Winchester, Cambridge, Oxford, Bath, Birmingham, Manchester, Leeds, Liverpool, Sheffield, Exeter, Corsham, Bristol, Coventry, Guildford, Portsmouth, Swindon, Dublin, and again in London. In October, I'm doing a big date at Bloomsbury Theatre. My point is, I'm trying my best. I'm coming to lots of places. I'd love to see you there. I think the show's pretty damn good.
And shout out to all the Hampshire girlies. Please go see Catherine in Pompey and in Aldershot, as we call it, and support her. I want her to love Hampshire as much as I do.
And Winchester. Winchester's in Hampshire, isn't it?
I don't count it.
Why am I doing so many dates
Thank you so much.
In Hampshire?
Because it's a gorgeous county.
Nathan Foad! I know something about Nathan!
Oh my god, you know something!
Sorry. Well, because my housemate has known Nathan since he was 15 and apparently... Oh, you're going to love this. So
I'm in a blackout. I'm so panicked.
So Nathan's an NYT kid. Helen's mother ran an illegal...
I was in NYT.
No.
Stage management.
And yeah, of course. Wait, you did NYT? Because it's just like, yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah, obviously I wasn't one of the actors.
That's
translation,
amazing.
National Youth Theatre, nobody actually cares. And Helen's mother used to run an illegal
the Ambala School of Drama.
No.
Wait, but and we have so much to discuss here.
But how did you end up doing stage management instead of being an actor?
I was rebelling from the Ambala School of Drama.
Yeah, of course. Because it's the thing, if you're raised by showbizy parents, you go one of two ways.
I'd say showbiz parent.
Okay, fine.
I mean, and showbiz as far as ran the Ambala School of Drama and slept with one of the teachers from Grange Hill. I made out with Daniela Lewis. Then yeah, she's a showbiz parent.
Wait, okay. I love her.
Also, slept with the man from the original Mr. Muscle advert. Shout out to Ambala. She's been busy.
Wait. Okay, so she ran this drama school. Was it
the Ambala School of Drama?
So the Ambala School of Drama.
Room.
Where was that?
Our living room.
In where's
Fleet.
That again? Fleet. Yes, I do know that about you. And
but then when I was 16, 2007, I went and the actors, you got to audition, right? And it's like really hard to get in.
Of course.
And I heard that it was like been told because there was a girl in the year above me. She auditioned for it, and it's like really hard to get in to be an actor. And I wasn't like at this point, my confidence was shot because I wasn't allowed in the school play in year 11. We've been over this many times on the podcast.
I'm
Either
sorry.
Way, I was slighted. I was too big to be in the chorus of women. Fuck you, Mrs. Horner. Fuck you.
Wow. Yeah, eat shit, Horner.
Thank you. Yeah, she truly probably does. Yeah. So.
If you get to the end of
stop it! That is.
We would like to formally apologize.
That just took a year off my life. That's one of the.
I panicked. I knew that I panicked. I just feel like
that is one of the worst things that's ever happened to me. You little shit.
Okay.
Were you just on this fucking thing?
Yeah.
You didn't just come here for this. You little wanker.
Let's,
oh, he wins Taskmaster. He thinks he can do whatever he wants.
He brought his trophy for his time on the podcast.
Congratulations on winning.
Stay on mic. Let's stay on mic. Let's stay on mic.
I'll get out of here.
Congratulations to Sam.
Thank you, Sam.
Sorry, that's a prank.
I hated that. I don't like prank. I'm not a prank person. I like tweaked my back when I screamed. That was so horrid and scary, Sam.
Can I say, he masterminded it, but may I say, we did permit and encourage it, and I'm sorry because you're our first jump scare, but I will say that we both, knowing it was going to happen,
I spilled my coffee
everywhere. We jumped so hard.
Can I say, I thought it was really good.
How long were you planning on saying?
No, I can see it from up there, like, looking down.
Did you? That's so scary. Did you have, like, a timer set?
No,
like, you just picked your moment.
For a moment, and then
did
she
you not
said,
think
Daniel
I was
Lewis,
rude?
And I
and you
like,
thought
that's sort of it.
I really did tweak my back when I screamed.
Have to pay for his physio with your Taskmaster money.
Crazy what
Why
you just
do you think
did
I was keeping you outside? Catherine's getting changed. This is a toilet.
You're, oh my! Like, come on.
I guess it's crazy that I didn't question that.
You were fine with it.
That's wild.
It's always good to see.
Well,
you.
Well, nice
I
to see
the
you,
show
Sam.
The other night as well.
Thank you. Thanks, Sam. Thanks for actually saying something nice about me.
Sam Campbell from episode 110, everyone. Sometimes we do double records. The illusion's still there. We changed our outfits.
Wow, you were so good. You really...
My heart is beating
so I forgot eventually.
Bye, Sam.
Well, you go fuck yourself and you go fuck yourself.
No, I was not. I was actually not on board with it. I feel like we're Ellen DeGeneres. I feel like that was fucked up.
That was amazing.
Like, and we treat our staff terribly.
Catherine
was so game for it because this is her second prank in a month.
Wow.
I'm kind of a prankster now.
Oh, wait. I saw on the podcast, I saw your prank, your OCD prank. Yeah. So good.
Thank you.
So good.
Your OCD
prank. I'm sort of a pranking princess now. Yeah.
Are you actually, do you like pranks?
I hate them, obviously.
I'm so scared.
I hate them.
The worst things in the world.
That was really
hurts,
good.
But my stomach hurts. Like, I'm not comfortable after that. I can feel my skin so viscerally.
But you know what? That was what we would call a harmless prank. Although I did physically.
I burned my hand.
Yeah, you really
How
did.
How is that
Look
harmless?
At that. I can't wait to watch
stain.
That back. Do you clip this up and put it on TikTok? Because I can't wait for that clip to go out.
I think you just went, fuck you!
I was so angry. Oh my God, I couldn't work out what was happening. I thought, like, you know what I thought it was? I thought it was, you know those, like, fire alarms that go off that talk? You know, where they're, like, evacuate. I was like, it sounded so, like, microphoned and scary.
That's so funny. Are you okay? Do you need a minute?
No, I feel great.
Okay, great.
I feel so well. I was quite sleepy. How amazing would that be?
Wouldn't that be amazing if I just refused to, like Adam Driver, you know, when he refuses to watch his acting when he does interviews?
Just walks out.
Imagine, I should have done that.
That's exactly what you should have done.
Well,
you're willing to stay for the rest of the podcast?
More than willing. Willing and ready.
What a trooper.
So the National Youth Theatre.
Oh.
So... I was like, I go for stage management, I'll definitely get in, which means I can move out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I did that. And I was there 2007, 2008, 2009, just in the summers.
So you were there young?
Mm-hmm. You 16.
How old are you? Is that bad to ask
32.
On the podcast?
32, no.
I guess, yeah. I'm 30. That just seemed like that 2007. I feel like I was like 6 in 2007, even though I was born in 1992. Does that
you
make sense?
You were definitely 14.
Okay, yeah, for sure.
Definitely 14.
When would I have done it? 2009 or something? Yeah.
So I
did you enjoy it?
2009, I was working on Tory Boys at the Soho Theatre.
Oh my Phenomenal. God, my friend was in that.
Who?
James Camp.
Yes! Mm-hmm. That's so mad.
That sounds like the name of the hottest man in the world to you. James Camp.
I went to drama school with him.
East 15.
Yes!
Slay.
Oh my God, Slay Queen.
Do you still talk to James?
Yeah, kind of. We went to drama school together, so
Wait,
we're all kind
you
of
went
loosely...
to East 15, that's the school?
No.
With...
No, oh. I didn't. He did like a foundation course at 15, and then I went to a very, very terrible bachelor drama school.
Slay.
Which ones?
I'll say the name. I don't give a shit. The Guildford School of Acting.
The Guildford School of Acting.
Eat my hole, motherfucker.
I went to Central School of Speech and Drama.
Did you?
And it was bad for my brain.
Yep. Me too. When did you go?
Whatever time they were like, have you considered not eating and that your face says victim? Do you know? Have you considered that? Time.
A dark, dark place. Maybe the whole thing... Did you go to drama school?
No, but would have thrived.
Yeah, I think maybe the whole system has changed now, but God, it was bad.
It was so dog shit.
The Guildford School of Acting.
Yeah. I don't care. I hate them.
Well, Guildford's awful, so
but
I don't
what's
understand
fascinating
it.
Is apparently Nathan can sing in French. Go on.
Oh, my God. Yeah. No, I just... I learned... For some reason, and you know those things that you learn like at a certain point, you're just like, oh, that is in my brain
yeah,
for the
Japanese
rest of my
Avril
life.
Yeah, Japanese Avril Lavigne, Hey Hey You, You What I'm Eating. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly that. I can sing Summer Holiday by Cliff Richard in French. Want me to do it?
Ready. It's a terrible time to do Cliff Richard,
Por favor.
But off you go.
Okay.
Is Cliff Richard the Alison Hammond clip that's going around now? Is that Cliff Richard?
I don't know.
The fat shaming guy?
Oh, is he? Okay, well, I don't condone fat shaming, but I do condone me singing French. Okay.
He was fat shaming Elvis. Alison Hammond was just there.
Oh, he wasn't fat shaming Alison Hammond, because if that was the case, all the gays are going to be like, you know.
Has everyone seen the clip?
Yeah.
No.
Sorry to interrupt.
No, you actually have to say this. It's more important.
Cliff Richard is on this morning being like, oh, I actually once got the chance to meet my hero, Elvis. And they're like, whoa, cool. And then he was like, but he just put on loads of weight, so I didn't want the picture to be on my fridge to be of when he was fat.
I got told this.
And Alison Hammond was just sat there being like, is that why you didn't want me to come to your house? And he was like, ha ha ha. But it's genuinely just like, what the fuck is wrong with you? The greatest recording artist in, you know, of the time was willing to deign to meet you, and you were like, "Oh, he's fat. Go fuck yourself."
Anyway, okay, all of our fat hogs listening, if you see Cliff Richard, fall on him.
Yeah,
and I mean fall. I mean like fucking go for it, like break the ribs.
Then I saw a hilarious thing on Twitter where somebody had put up their update from their like Slimmies Award for the week from Slimming World, and it was like.
The Slimmies Award.
Yeah, you get these like little certificates, or at least they'd made a certificate from Slimming World that was like qualifies to take a picture with Cliff Richard.
Oh, right. Oh, that's really funny.
It's good stuff. Good stuff. Yeah, we loved it. We liked it. But yeah, so just wanted to put that out there. So we're not condoning him. We are condoning Nathan singing in French.
Okay, I'll do it for you now. Okay. Now I'm realizing I've not done this in years, so I probably don't remember it. Okay. It goes like this. Je fais mes valises, je pars en vacances cet été. Pas de devoir pendant six semaines. On peut s'essayer, s'amuser, s'éclater. Pas de devoir pendant une quinzaine. Ça fait deux semaines.
Oh, God, très bien. Très bien, ouais, super.
Merci,
super.
Merci. Encore. I want to make sure to any French speakers, I'm aware that like 60% of that was wrong. So.
It was somebody who like, hadn't done this in years.
Yeah.
Eyes on
also,
the prize.
Also, as I was doing it, I was like, I should probably try and say, I hope I get jobs from that.
You will.
You definitely will.
I would
will.
Love
will.
A job from that.
Would you like to play a seven-year-old girl competing in a pageant?
Oh, my dream come true. Why? Do you have an opening?
I just feel like that's what you auditioned for.
Oh my God.
If you know there's auditions going around for a Toddlers and Tiaras film and you haven't told me, I would fucking lose my mind.
Who would you want to play?
Pageant Mum.
Okay, yeah, it'd be great.
Pageant Mum.
I would be
Pageant Mum.
I'd be Pageant Judge if ever there was one.
Oh, yeah. I loved those shows. It's so funny the way I used to consume Honey Toddlers
Boo
and
Boo.
Tiaras. Honey Boo Boo.
Have you drank your go-go juice? Have you drank your go-go juice?
And we were all just like... yeah, cool, that's normal. And it was like fully a girl being abused on TV and we were all just like, yeah for sure.
Yeah.
Who's your favourite star?
And I would watch it and be like, well, to be fair, she fucked it this week. And it's mm-hmm. like, she's a child.
Yeah.
Who was our favourite star? I was really into...
Eden Wood.
Fuck, that is a name that's like uh-huh. rattled around in the back of my
mind. I mean,
brain.
I haven't watched it for years.
I loved it. Do they still make it?
I mean,
it?
On YouTube, I watch the compilation sometimes in the background.
Did they like stop making it because they were like, it's dark, it's too dark?
Probably. They should.
I... I also loved like very occasionally there would be like a boy presence in there. Do you know what I mean? They'd let one
in the tiny suit.
It's like in Dance Moms, you know how occasionally they'd let like one like little,
Brady.
Like yeah, like one like 7-year-old gay boy in.
But can I say? Like,
wait, Catherine, we never get to talk about Dance Moms. No, but I want to talk about the entire world. I think Mike Kendall would be wonderful for the role of Rosa Parks. Discuss.
It was so poor Nia on that show. The way she got treated.
Poor Nia. You know, Melissa's got her own YouTube channel now.
How Has she?
No joke. She just went to Jill's house for an interview and she's interviewed Paige.
God, you really, you're a
sorry, sorry, Melissa and Paige. Bit of a weird combo.
Isn't it so weird as well, the way that, like, out of all, I suppose it makes sense that Maddie Ziegler is now just, like, famous. Like
yeah,
real famous.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And understandably so, she's gorgeous. I mean,
I get it.
And a randomly good actress.
Yeah, West Side Story.
Why is it so random?
Well, I guess it's just, like, all she was doing on Dance Moms was, like, twirling. And but she's actually, I watched this movie called...
She did a grand jeté.
It's called The Fallout. Did you ever watch that movie? It's about a school shooting. It's her and the girl who plays Wednesday in Wednesday.
Jenny Ortega.
Yeah. They were in a movie together about a school shooting and it's... so good.
Whoa, Maddie Ziegler can
act her little butt off.
Write that down, Andrew.
That makes sense. I guess like they were all acting like they wanted to be there, and that's like, or they don't want to kill their mom.
Oh my God.
That was pretty impressive.
Well, exactly. And they're all acting like they're not being actively abused.
Yeah.
And Maddie Ziegler's like, gurney face, you know, she said like, yeah. Gurn, and oh, sorry. I thought you were showing that to me. I thought that was like a light being like, stop talking about Maddie Ziegler.
No, when
Maddie Ziegler's our boss.
The trauma that you can see in their eyes. And like Dance Moms, I didn't watch until I was older, so that one I immediately was like, this is the worst environment in the fucking world. And even though, sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, there's a direct inversion, I think, between the boys in Toddlers and Tiara and Dance Moms, which is to say that I think the Toddlers and Tiara's boys were usually exceptionally talented.
Mm.
And the Dance Moms are just like, that's just a boy in shorts. They found a boy willing to wear shorts on television and now he's in the dance.
I know. And they would always try and, oh God, it was always so embarrassing. They'd always try and like spin the narrative for the boy that it's like, here comes this stud that all the girls have a crush on.
Like a little Billy Elliot running around.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I know who she'll be taking to prom. And it's like, yeah, he'll make a corsage from scratch. But like...
And he's there like... hoofing near around, and it's just do you know what I mean? And it just, there's no dignity in that life.
Here it sorry, comes, girls can change properly in the changing room.
definitely the gayest little boy in town. Mm. Also, the like full suits on the Toddlers and Tiaras boys was heaven.
Yeah. I know their little, did they ever? There was never a... Was there ever a swimsuit element on Toddlers and Tiaras?
Yes.
No, God.
Oh, God, that's one of those things where you... I don't know if you hope you imagined it or you hope you didn't imagine it. That's no, kind of tricky.
I know.
It really was, wasn't there?
It's not so crazy. And also, I do just want to say, I'm going to get political for 1 second. Isn't it so crazy, all of the uproar around like drag queen story time and the idea that queer people are groomers? And I'm like, why is no one talking about that?
Yeah,
like,
that's a strange
shit. We were like getting like these little girls in like their underwear and everyone was just like, yeah. Like, it was so bizarre.
Too fucking right.
I hope that goes viral.
What I will say...
I love how you say that after everything.
I really need a viral clip. I've not had one in years.
I loved it when they would have their talent, because in general it was like they would just dance, right? And like terribly choreographed routines. They couldn't remember it. But every now and again, it would be like, this kid could be a star.
Yeah.
And usually it was just because their mum was doing it and they were copying it. But it was incredible when it worked. And this move, the one that you got full points for.
Yeah. A lot of, I like this one as well, where they go... And then they do that in a circle. I liked that a lot.
Oh, my heart
breaks. Because it was like, what was that genre? Like,
you guys never do that when you're in the club? To get boys? I get all the boys that way.
Yeah, it's so good. It's so funny. And like, it was always, this was often with the Western flair, because they were often like Southern America. Oh, it's so good.
Southern Bells.
Helen, when I was talking to Nathan at a party at the weekend, like coming on this, he did such a lovely impression of you. And it goes a little bit like this. Why are you here? Because Nathan shot a film or a show in the States for like 5 seconds.
He's LA.
And you're shocked that he lives in this country somehow?
So this was the context of this. I ran into Helen in a bar. Were you doing stand-up?
No memory.
I ran into Helen in a bar. This is controversial. Helen immediately greeted me by being like, why are you here? And no. I was like, it was so confusing to me. And we had a whole conversation and it didn't really unspool until kind of the very end of the conversation that you thought I lived in America now. Because you were asking me, you were like, do you just go to Disney every day? And I was like, Disneyland Paris? Like, it was so confusing. And then
I thought you went from working in the wrapping paper shop.
Yeah, thank
you. Okay, amazing time.
It was a toy shop. It was like a children's like toy shop.
Okay.
And but I would
wrapping paper station.
I would wrap gifts on Instagram Live when I was bored.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And
so
I'd
you
watch
were there.
All of them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I loved them.
Such a little freak.
It was incredible. It was an incredible time.
Thank you.
Okay, and then Nathan went to LA, and I just think he stayed.
And here's the thing. Obviously, it's like very flattering. I love that that's the vibe that I give off. That people think I live in LA. But actually, it started happening more and more now where people are like, oh my God, you're in London. And I'm like, yeah, no, I live here. But I guess people just, of course, if you don't see someone very often, you just see what they posted on their Instagram. And I guess you'd
be like, yeah, I guess I'm in LA loads. And not like, I didn't call you because I don't like you.
Well, that too.
I'd be less surprised if I saw you in the next episode of Selling Sunset than to see you in Soho.
It would be my dream.
Really? Who would you want to be your estate agent?
Oh, I don't know their names. I would just love to be on more television.
Don't mind what it is, as long as they're watching.
I just want more credit.
I like Amanza.
Okay, is that one of the... Her name's...
Manza.
Amanza.
Yeah, she's best friends with Chriselle.
Oh, I love
Michelle.
Chriselle of G-Flip fame.
Amanza.
Yes. If
you're that just sounds like a camp man saying Amanza.
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 I am Amanza.
That's great.
Wait, so you went to LA to film the Taika show?
Mm-hmm.
And then you, which he found you for on Twitter?
Mm.
How did that happen?
It's the craziest thing that's ever happened to me.
Imagine if there was like, if that was the, like the least... If that was like the third on the list.
I know. Can you imagine?
And then Spielberg sent me on Threads. And then, yeah, I guess Greta Greta and I were in the same Sainsbury's.
Who's going to be the first person to get discovered off Threads?
I hope it's me.
Oh my God, fingies crossed.
Fingies crossed.
As Helen, I used to do a lot of like internet comedy because I wasn't really an actor. I was just a comedy writer.
You were the rapping guy.
And then I became a rapping guy. Yeah. And by that, I do mean gift wrapping. I never rapped on the internet.
No, and you
I want
wasn't.
To make that so clear. Yeah. I worked in this toy shop for like 3 years and I started making like front-facing... It was sort of like while that... Before everyone did that. Before it was like a thing every person on Earth does.
Yeah.
I made a few of them and they went viral. A couple of them went viral. And Taika followed me on Twitter, which was like cool enough as it was. Like,
so cool.
And he like retweeted one of my videos on the day that he won his Oscar. So it was like, it just got a lot of like buzz. And I was like, oh, this is cool. But I didn't think anything would come of it. And then like a year later, I got asked to audition for the show. And I was like, well, I'm not really an actor, but I'll audition for the show because it was just
there
like,
are so many actors listening to this being like, fuck
I
you!
I know, it's so bad.
But you also, he was NYT.
Yeah, okay. And I was in the National Youth Theatre.
Sorry, so that is...
And you went to Guildford.
And I did go to drama school. That is the thing. And yeah, I have an A in GCSE drama. A star even! I forgot I had an A star. Okay.
But congratulations!
That's massive.
Thank you for saying
that.
Thank you. So I auditioned for the show, and my best friend who I was living with at the time, she used to work for the agency that I'm represented at, and she was like, babe, have fun with the tape, but you'll never get it, because she was like, a lot of like big people are going up for
it.
Those so if are the any, ones you get.
If anything, it was quite freeing, so I was like, well, I'll just be a stupid little idiot then, and I got the part, and it's changed my life.
Did she sign you?
No, I was... No, can you imagine? I'm now represented by my best friend.
So I would like to represent
you. She's
you
like, you've got something special.
I knew you'd get it. I knew it. Didn't I always say?
Yeah, yeah.
And no, that's when you moved to LA.
That's when I moved to LA.
Wait, so then you got the part and then you already had an agent?
I was repped as a writer and then they just like, I sort of got signed, an acting agent at the agency kind of like took me on and I'm still with her to this day.
Oh my God, so good.
So yeah, and it's been a crazy few years. It's been a very mad few years to be...
Living in LA.
Little old Nene.
Yeah. But you have the same boyfriend since the beginning, which is so romantic.
You're gay?
Sorry. I've been rubbing your leg under the table the whole time. Imagine.
When?
Sorry.
Why?
No, I know. Well, since Sam jump scared me. Oh. That shocked me into homosexuality.
I thought we were vibing.
Yeah. Well, we are.
Yeah.
No, imagine. We just kissed.
I did.
Yeah. Oh, no.
She leant in.
I've been with my boyfriend for a long time. I love him so much. Do you know him?
I love him so much, but that's because we're always the only two Irish people at like very English parties.
You have an Irish boyfriend?
Yeah.
And you live in LA?
Great. He's Northern Irish. I just want to make it clear. He's kind of like, I always say he's Irish when it suits him. You know what I mean? So when he's talking to like cool Irish people, he's always like, yeah, these fucking English, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you shut
you,
the fuck
come
up.
On. You're still part of the UK.
Yeah. But no, he is.
If you didn't like
him,
you should say something.
He's heaven on earth. He adores you.
Oh, that's so nice. It's so nice that you think he's
I really love him a lot. And I'm so smug about it, but I just love him.
No, but that's the way you should be. How did you meet?
at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
Oh my god, yeah. Everybody meets at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
I met at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival and it was really lovely and romantic. And
were you in a play?
I was in a very bad play that I shouldn't say that because I wrote it with a friend who I'm still writing.
I wrote a play once.
Yeah.
I took it to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
What was it called?
On the Line Media. I don't want to talk about it. It was so bad. What was it about? So bad. Oh my god.
Wait, it was called Online Media.
On the Line.
On the Line Media.
I think that's what it, I think it must be called that.
Say what it was about.
This was 2011 or 2012, 2013.
Okay.
A news panel show parody.
Okay.
All right.
I've got the measure of this already. I don't know. Yeah, yeah.
About misinformation in the media.
Whoa.
And it was packed with laughs.
Did it go down well?
It was under Ella Tasca in Newtown.
Did it go down well?
At two, well, were the people who saw it enjoyed?
What was your play called?
So it's so funny because it basically a girl that I went to drama school with approached me and was like, "Do you want to write a play with me?" Because she knew I liked writing, and but she already had a theatre company, so it was very much in the style of that company. So
okay,
when I talk
this
about
is
it now,
way better organised than mine.
It was very legit.
We did a run through of it in the cafe I was working in.
Yeah, for sure.
Like,
yeah,
what was it called?
It was called "This Was the World and I Was King."
Oh, come on!
It's so funny that I wrote this now because it's so earnest. It was like a World War I family drama.
From the German perspective?
Yeah. It was a sympathetic... No, imagine.
Oh, imagine.
Imagine. Cut that out. Oh my God, you're German.
It's World War One. It's...
Told me a lie.
Yeah.
But we wrote this play. It was like about... It was basically just a massive rip-off of The Railway Children.
I love The Railway Children.
My mother loves The Railway Children.
I've never seen you happy.
My mother watches it every single Christmas. She loves it.
It's a beautiful movie.
Bobby!
I know, Daddy, my daddy. Oh God, it's so good.
And also really makes you think about how serious flu is.
Yeah, yeah, because we don't
think
about that.
People just think, oh, it's just a bad cold, but their mummy gets very sick with influenza.
So true.
And when she stops the train.
What?
Are you welling up?
Well, she like stands in front of the... I can't do the rest of the podcast. But yeah, so I did that play and I was in it and
congrats.
I met my boyfriend in a bar like on the second night of the Fringe. So I was very thin and wired and insane.
Yeah.
I wore dungarees. I wore a big pair of adult dungarees.
Fantastic.
I thought I was such hot shit, which is so funny now because I've seen photos of myself from that period and I look absolutely repulsive. And we met and we kissed and then he...
On the first night?
Yeah.
Whoring.
Yeah, a little slut.
Well, mouth slut.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you fuck the first night?
No.
Okay, sick.
I get so scared talking about my sex life because the fans of Our Flag Means Death are so horny.
Yeah.
Love you guys, but like, yeah.
Yeah, well.
But yes.
Do they write fan fiction between you?
I believe they do. I've never read any of it. They get very excited at the idea that maybe we read it. And I think maybe some other cast members do, but I certainly do not. I'm bigging myself up unnecessarily here. I'm really not the object of desire for that fandom.
You are like, for me.
Thank you for saying that.
You're welcome.
There are other cast members that they're like, absolutely like frothing at the mouth for, but for me it's just occasionally so I'll get sent a sort of naked picture of, like a drawn naked picture of myself where I have like tits or something,
whoa,
which is lovely. I think too. Well, I know you're good at that.
He'll
if
show
you
later
could show
you
me
decide.
The picture just from the top half.
It's actually devastating. There probably is enough of you to measure. But yeah, I don't always it's not that I don't love it, like free will, everyone can do what they want. I just sometimes it's uncomfortable. When you get tagged in it, I don't mind people doing what they want to do. Like let your freak flag fire, babe. But sometimes you get given it to like sign and like so someone like shoves it in front of you and you're like, oh my god, okay. Like and I have said no to signing them before.
That's
someone
fair.
Tried to get you to sign a picture that they'd drawn of you naked.
Mm-hmm. Having sex.
Yeah, okay, we can say thank you, fans. Like, thank you for supporting Nathan. But that is a fucking line, bro.
Yeah. It's very... And they mean so
unless
well.
Unless your dick's on the ground, am I right?
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah. Really good stuff.
No, but seriously, even then.
Yeah.
Even then.
I don't know. If I looked banging, I might sign it.
Yeah, well, so, this is the thing. And what's crazy is... I've never talked about this publicly. I'm so glad to talk about this. I'm still crying. The varying ways in which people draw your body is like crazy.
Yeah.
There's basically like, there's three ways that they draw me, which is one, like a sort of medium sized man, which is what I am. Mm-hmm. Or they draw me like three times the size and I'm like, okay, which is fine and beautiful. Or
but
they,
excuse you, like that's gonna, if I have dysmorphia around my body anyway, but that would like completely confuse me about like what's true and real.
Yes, I think sometimes I'm like, oh right, okay, I guess that's must be what I look like. And then the other one, which is maybe the most insidious, I think, is when you get drawn and they draw you, I think what they draw you is what they think gay men should look like. So they'll draw me as like a twink and I'm like, oh, I don't look anything like that. They'll draw me as like a stick insect with like cheekbones and like, and that's always very confusing because I'm like, well, I definitely don't look like that. But they're just like, well, that's what gay characters often look like in
or
things,
that's
you
what
know?
We think you stick should look
yeah,
like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're the like, stick insect in Bug's Life.
Yes, yeah. I look like that, but like fit, you know? Yeah, so it's very confusing. I all of this is to say, love you all so
thank
much.
Thank you so much for watching the show.
We
thank
mainly you for get pictures of our face, but I always look like I've
do you get
got
drawn
eczema.
As well?
Not good behind you. We get cross-stitched, we get crocheted, we get drawn.
Oh, this is great. Okay, that's actually great.
We've did got some gaps between all our teeth.
Did a fan do this?
Yeah. Yes.
That is amazing.
Check these ones.
What? Oh, I get a lot of cross-stitches as well, and I really like them.
Yeah, the cross-stitches are great. Look, we're on a plate down here.
Oh, my God.
And over here, we're...
I will remain on yeah. pod.
My hair's always redder, which I love.
Yeah.
And then, it's gone. But, wow. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I can see it. That's so nice. People really...
And then we get made...
People are so talented.
We get made into pigs. This is me.
Oh. And of course it is. This is the thing as well. You know when you're being drawn?
I'm bigger. For sure.
That feels, yeah, that feels cruel. But it is so funny, isn't it? It's like, in all of the drawings, it's like, they have to just pick one defining feature of you. So obviously you, it's big boobs, you, it's red hair.
Yeah.
And then they just take that and like really run
yeah.
with it.
Yeah.
Wait,
yeah.
I don't think I've got boobs on the pig, do I? Feeling.
No, but
wouldn't it be so good if you're a big set heavy
anyone
natural?
Anyone is like, oh, I was going to crochet a pig, but they've already got loads, so I'm not going to do it. If you send in a pig with, actually, that goes back on what you said. I'm not going to sign it. I would love a pig with a
everyone
pair of
everyone has their own line. Like, I think a pig with a pair of tits is very fun.
Yeah,
it is. I just don't need to
Piggy.
See.
She had a massive pair of knockers,
she really
no?
Did.
So
or is that
hot.
Like a mandala effect?
No, she did. She had full tits.
She definitely did. We've all had a rub
Nathan,
to that.
Nathan.
Sorry.
What kind of advice giver are you? And do you get asked for advice a lot?
I do. Yeah, I think I think it's so funny. I'm somehow one of the saner ones in my friendship group, which is insane because I think I'm mad.
Who
but,
are you friends with?
But I think you're well, also I think you're also a gay man in a long-term relationship, and those both lead to advice being asked. Like if you're in a long-term relationship, people are going to come to you with relationship advice, and if you are a gay man, women are going to come to you for advice.
Yes, exactly. I'm always very happy to give relationship advice. What I'm not very good at giving is like dating advice because
I haven't dated
since I was like 20. So when
don't look at me right now.
I'm
like,
sorry.
No, don't be sorry. Don't be sorry.
I swallow the mic.
Look at Catherine.
Okay, fine. Why do you have advice that you need?
Oh no, I just mean like I get asked more like I guess I feel more comfortable giving relationship advice because
dating
a
is a
serial monogamous.
And there is no advice you can give because the world's going to burn and there's no point meeting someone.
And also,
you're
like,
gonna
you
watch
can't
them
predict
die in
the
a fiery
behaviors
pit.
Of crazy other people. Yeah,
why would
yeah.
I start dating someone to watch them get taken away from me by a tidal wave?
I do. You know what? I actually, and thank you for saying
the
that.
The world's ending.
I do think this all the time.
Do you?
I do think, well, I think as in like, I've said it to my boyfriend before where I'm like, when we're just like loving each other and having a sweet moment, I'm like, this is so fucking stupid that we love each other this much because if anything
die.
Bad happens to you, I will kill myself. So yeah. I'm just like, but I can't, I've done this to myself.
You sound super
like,
chill.
Because I'm like, well, what am I going to do without you?
They die, you get a bench, and then what's next? Like, it's
and then
so much
I'm going to have to fuck
bench,
the bench.
You fuck the bench.
Fuck that. Bench.
Yeah, instead of it being slashed, it's loads of holes.
That's my game show. Yeah, perfect. Can you imagine? That's so scary. What a scary image. Someone's going to draw that now.
You sit on a bench covered in holes.
Oh, but at least well, you look lovely and thin.
Yeah.
To be true from the grief. I know, I do. I do think that is like for me a marker of love is that you're like, oh God, now all I think about is you dying.
Yeah, it's really, really horrible. Also, the context here is that I can't remember, do you say your girlfriend's name on this podcast?
Oh,
Ellen, Catherine's girlfriend, Ellen is a very good pal of mine. I love her dearly. She's so good. Hi, Ellen, I love you.
Hi, Ellen, I love you too.
She will not listen.
Okay,
she
perfect.
Refuses to listen, but she...
Because she knows you talk about your relationship or...
Yeah, and because I think
she's a liar. Ellen's a liar. She told me yesterday that there was a poem about Aldershot Station.
She got it wrong.
Aldershot Station. It was a station called what? Oldham or something.
Yeah, but the other thing she missed. It was very late when you called.
And then she said she's going to buy me a baby bell, but I bet she's already forgotten.
I already ordered them on the Sainsbury's your trip over because I knew that the two of you would have this thing.
Thank you.
But also, can I say that
I'm getting a baby bell?
These guys are friends, and I think also she doesn't listen because when I'm not here, it's like her one break.
Yeah.
And she needs it, and she really deserves it.
Pilates.
Yeah. I try to double them up so she doesn't have too much time without me. But she and you have a friendship group that are called the Colleagues, right?
With the Colleagues, yeah.
Because they're self-employed, so they meet up for a Christmas Colleagues dinner, which I think is so nice, like a staff night out.
We really try and do like an AGM because it's really hard. You guys know when you're freelancers, it's like you don't really have. Maybe it's different for like comedians because you gather a lot more.
Yeah, we're in a group. I'm in a group called Cucks.
Who are the Cucks?
The Cucks are me, Heidi Regan, Neil O'Rourke, Nathan Darcy Roberts, Sunil Patel, Nick Ellery. We went to the cinema the other day.
Some great
we
people.
We saw Dream Scenario.
How was it?
Incredible.
Okay.
I just wrote on a show that Sunil Patel is in.
Great boy. Stop, what show?
Lucia Keskin's new show.
Yeah, that was amazing. Mm. I mean, I did the audition with him. So I don't
know. Oh, really? Yeah. He's so good. What was I saying?
That you have the Colleagues dinner because we have the Colleagues. Spend time alone because you're writers.
And we were a little gang and we hang out as much as we can because it's just like
it's so cute.
Because writers are so like comedians are so it's so much more of a social job, I think, unless maybe you're on like tour or whatever, but which you're about to go on.
I love how you said that like it was a hypothetical, like or whatever.
Yeah. I'm crazy on tour right now. Are you on tour right now? Yeah. How are you finding it?
Lonely now. Yeah. You said that.
But is it though? I don't know. I've never done it.
I find it really lonely.
Yeah.
It depends on like next week we'll get lonely for a minute because I'm away for like 3 nights in a row.
Mm.
And like my tour support is like living. But like, yeah, I pay people to be my friends on tour. Wow. Also, I'm fine with a lot of time alone.
No one believes.
Yeah, me too.
I'm less social
than Catherine.
Wow.
Probably, yeah.
You like being alone?
Yeah.
She loves it.
I crave a day by myself.
All I ever sort of think is like when I'm like really, really busy and overstimulated, I'm like, God, I would just love like an evening in alone. And then I get 45 minutes into it and I want to rip my hair. Like, I'm so bored.
I'm like, who can I call?
Yeah, genuinely.
I guess I could listen to a podcast while I ring my mom.
Yeah.
No, you have a glass of wine and you read your book or you put on a film and you disassociate.
By
and I have such good company.
Oh, see, this
like,
is the thing.
I hate
my
Helen,
company.
We laugh and we laugh and we laugh.
Just cackling into a mirror. Yeah. Sounds relaxing.
We pierce things. Is that still a hole?
But so to circle back, are you a good advice giver or no?
I think I am. I think I'm a pretty good advice. I think I'm good, except for dating. Like when people are like in the early stages of dating, I'm like, I don't know. Like ask him to marry you. Like I just because I'm such.
Tell me, think about when he dies and how you have to fuck a bench.
Yeah.
What I will say is, just before we get into this, often, just so you know, I know we have a laugh, we have a jump scare, but sometimes our problems come from young queers, which means that they are also earnest. You know, you'll remember from your play.
Yeah.
And so just tonally, just go.
I'm going to be so nice. I promise you, I'm a really nice guy.
Yeah, unless they fucking drew you, in which case, not so much.
Okay.
Ready.
Okay, this is a bit of a workplace advice, please.
Oh, from the colleagues.
From the three people who are not, they've never worked a real job.
I was a receptionist.
Yeah.
Hey Hogs, E here.
Hi E.
E for context is female 28, and Slay. I need some workplace advice.
There we go. Em, if this is you writing in, I swear to fucking God.
You're having a nice time. You like your life. You're staying.
Basically, I work in a very male-dominated workplace. It's not M. yay for me!
Okay, she works in a male-dominated workspace.
Yeah, yay for me. This
rock climbing.
Comedy.
This year, I've had some lovely bullying since becoming a manager, brackets the only female manager.
Oh, dear.
I basically put it down to all the men, brackets boys, being white, cis, very middle class, and not realising that they're being sexist by openly undermining my work every day and not doing it to any other manager. I'm praised by my SMT all the time for my work.
What's an SMT?
I'm just trying to work that out myself.
Senior management
team.
Technician.
Senior management team,
I would have said.
Yeah, I panicked.
Really struggling with the corporate jargon. They praise me, think I'm very responsible, give me lots of work to do, and I often work 10 plus extra hours a week. I do get paid overtime though, so don't worry.
Good, yeah. That's good.
However, this year I've lost 50% of my team due to redundancy,
Oh no.
Which meant my workload has doubled, And I recently went to my manager and HR saying I'm not coping with the extra workload, as well as various other issues, including bullying. And I was given a week off for mental health, but came back to even more work on my plate and no hope of management seeing it, seeing my side of things or lowering my workload. So I have applied for another job because fuck this shit, but it's very scary and I need some reassurance and some advice about leaving a very good career path and taking new steps. What advice do you have? What reassurance can you offer? Thank you very much, E.
It's not a good career path because you're miserable and they're expecting too much from you. Is that like that at that level? Or does it get worse? Start again. Open a bookshop.
In a well.
Full stop.
In a well.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
That's so bad. So you're expected to do so much work. You've lost 50% of your team and the team that you do have are really mean and they're bullying you. Oh, you tell them, you take a leaf out of my sister's book and you tell them they can all go fuck themselves and good luck getting a Michelin star without you and walk out.
Yeah, I
what
do.
What specific.
Oh, yeah, no, she...
Good luck getting a Michelin star without me.
I like the idea of this person saying that exactly.
Nathan?
Oh, God, that's hard, isn't it? That's so horrible. I'm so sorry you're going through that.
That sounded so insincere.
I meant it. I'm just gay.
I know, I was going to say.
Is that the gay thing?
It's so hard when you're gay. It's so hard to be gay.
Okay, sorry, I'm going through that.
That's
sorry that's happening to you.
I think, I mean, the only advice I can give is for, like, if you do leave the job, which you should, because it sounds horrible.
Right?
My one thing whenever people ask for advice about, like, getting, like, jobs and CVs and stuff, I'm always just like, lie. Just lie on your CV. I think people are so caught up in honesty and references and blah blah blah. Just lie.
Like, yeah, if your friend's name down, they'll call that number.
Exactly. Like, for example, if your boss is a dick at this place, which it sounds like they are, and you feel like you're not going to get a good reference from them, put me down, honey. I'll lie for you. I'm just like, I just think
Nathan Bode Industries.
Yeah, do it. They're not going to know who I am, and I'll write your reference. I just think it's so hard. I think I have about 4 friends with real jobs, and it's so people get like really stuck in these cycles and these patterns, like miserable and horrible, horrible jobs. And it's so hard to like remove yourself from it, but you do just have to take a leap.
Don't find yourself halfway up a ladder you don't want to climb.
Better to be at the bottom of a ladder you do want to.
Let's try it again. Don't find yourself halfway up a ladder you don't want to climb.
Find yourself at the bottom of one you do.
Keep facing the sun and the shadows will always fall behind you.
Wait, I'm crying. That's amazing. What's your advice for this person?
But through a phrase.
I would have said that had you not explored every option to both inform your SMT and to exhaust the means that are available to you to make the situation better, then I'd be like, hold your horses and why don't we try talking to people?
You've got horses working there.
But given that you've advocated for yourself.
Stop. That was the best joke I've ever made.
This is your entire life, isn't it? Just really earnestly.
Hold your horses. If you've got horses, working that's just stop.
That is a good joke. That is a really good joke.
Fine. Yeah. Like, it's not like stop the podcast, let me forget what I'm saying.
Yeah, is that quite? Is it a quite joke?
Is it like Catherine doesn't belong here? Good. I don't know.
Oh no, try it again. I'll say run a stable.
Don't fuck yourself.
That would have been good. Yeah.
So,
yeah. And then I would say, hold your horses.
We'll run a stables if you've got a horse. This is stables. This is kind of there. You'll figure that out. How many horses could you hold?
Have you never heard this phrase before?
Nightmare for now. Nightmare. But it is a good joke.
I guess it's logically consistent. Yeah.
It's good stuff. It's all good stuff.
Yeah, it's good.
It's all usable. For
Hey, why not? Okay, fine, thank you. So here's the thing. Given you have advocated for yourself, I think it's absolutely fine to now start applying for jobs and to expect work to not be making you ill.
Yes. Work shouldn't be making you feel ill.
I think it largely shouldn't, you know? I really think it largely... Yeah. Especially if you don't run the fucking company.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. It's like... It's so hard, isn't it? Like, I so don't know that corporate world, so it's hard to like. Have you ever had like a proper job like,
yeah,
before your comedy?
Yeah.
What did you do?
Marketing.
Oh right. And how are you still going? We're having the most earnest conversation.
Helen wants to, if she was breathing, she'd have jumped in to say, marketing, why don't you just run a market?
And honestly, it would have been a great joke.
It would, listen.
Did you ever, in your marketing job, did you ever work with anyone that you deemed to be a bully?
Yes.
Really?
But I would also stress that I was there while I was starting stand-up at nighttime.
Right.
And I gave, what's less than 0% to that job? Honestly, every single week I'd have a meeting with the poor girl who had to manage me, and she'd basically be like, so I was thinking this week maybe you could do that stuff you said you'd do last week.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I'd be like, oh, how do I do it again? And yeah. She'd be like, okay, so I'll just set you up with another meeting with IT, and I'll be like, oh, I'm tired. So, worked with a bully was the bully. Who's to say? I think I ruined her life.
Oh my God, you were the bully. I actually love that.
Well, by being a petulant little tired comic who was just like, can you just pay me and can I just do nothing?
I know. I don't think I ever, I mean, we've gone slightly off topic here, but I don't think I've ever taken any normal job seriously.
No, I take my...
Which, what were you?
I took every job. So really? Seriously. My friend Frances, like literally one of my best friends now, but like we met and I was doing a trial shift at the cafe they were working in. And I was like fucking 20 or something. And I was doing the trial shift and they were like, oh, someone needs to take out the bins before we close. And I was like, I'll do it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I truly.
Always, like, do the entire shift. I'd have so much energy. Like, I took it seriously. I remember, this is so weird, but like, I was like, I wanted to do stand up. I hadn't started or anything, but I wanted to do something in comedy or like write a sitcom. Mm. And my friend bought me Amy Poehler's biography.
Oh, that book changed my life. Sorry, I know that's so basic, but
No, mine too.
Sometimes there's like a sentence or something and it just really sticks with you. And you might not even remember this bit. There's a bit called being a good waitress.
Mm.
And I was a waitress, but it's like, you will always be able to work if you're a good waitress. So why would you not be good at the job? Because then you're like, and it's like, okay, that makes sense because I was already like doing it because I was like, I need to earn money and take this seriously enough.
Yeah, that's good.
And I was like, okay, if I'm good at this, then I always have a job. So like, I was so like, it was lame.
I've never.
But I gave out a lot of free coffee.
Worked hard at any of the jobs that I've had that weren't in like comedy or TV. I remember this memory's just come back to me. The second like call center job I ever had was in Sutton. Where Hope Goes to Die.
I know Sutton.
One of the darkest places on earth. And I would get on the train there every single morning and feel like I could like taste like blood in my mouth. I was just so depressed.
Oh, that's an ulcer,
it was
but yeah.
Awful. And then that's something else. Yeah. And then I remember on my very first day there, like I did 2 hours and I obviously just like wasn't taking the job seriously. I was like, this is so stupid. We were calling up doctors to try and get them to do medical surveys, and a guy, like a very like nervous manager, and it was clearly like his first week as a manager, like pulled me into a meeting room, and he was there with like a woman next to him who was clearly his superior, who like the entire time, the attitude was very much like, you could be okay, come on.
Do it.
And he was like, I'm not joking when I say he was like on the edge of tears. His voice was shaking. He was like, because he obviously was so scared of conflict and didn't want to discipline me. And he was like, I guess we just want to know why you've spent the first few hours of the day just talking so much. And I was like, oh, have I? He was like, and then he had all of my call records, and he held them up, and he was like visibly shaking. He was like terrified of me, and like conflict. And I was like, oh, I guess I didn't realize I had been talking. He was like, we've had noise complaints from the other pods, and I was like, and I was like, oh God, I'm so.
That's where that move comes from. Thomas and Tiara. We've had noise complaints from the other pods.
And I was like, oh, I'm sorry, I guess. And I worked there for like 4 more. Days and I was like, this is so fucking lame. I'm not gonna be like, I was like, it's my first day, you nerd. But I it's because I was just talking, I didn't do any work.
Poor man.
I know. Where is he now?
Sutton, probably.
Yeah, genuinely. Still kicking around Sutton. So sad.
No one kicks around Sutton.
Sorry, I don't know
I'll
if that's helpful.
I think his arc will be that now when he goes to discipline people, he like kicks the door.
Oh my God, yeah. He's like a really, really abusive
listen up, you
boss.
You little fuck, I'm going to end your life and I'll tell you.
He's the boss. He's the boss this person's writing in about. I think so, probably. Full circle. Okay, so sorry about your bad boss, and I hope it's better.
I think we all think quit. You deserve better.
We really do, but what the fuck do we know?
That horse thing was good, wasn't it? That horse thing was good.
Oh. Really good stuff.
Really enjoyed
the horse was. I love watching that. I love when people laugh at their own jokes. It's so good. Because I
can spend all that time by myself.
Yeah, that's
And I'll
true.
Be at home and I'll think of that and I'll just be on the floor
yeah.
pissing myself. And Neil will come back with a mop, like all confused. I'm doing a script at the moment.
All right.
Just pop it in. It's a really good joke.
Pop it in.
Hold it in your there. Horses. Don't steal my line, though. You can only have the punchline. You can't have the setup. That's fine.
You trademark it. You trademark
it. So all I can say is, we'll work in a stables.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you can make it work. There's a right around for that.
Kathwin, please.
No, sorry, you have to pay me.
You're a fucking bitch. Sorry. I'm upset everyone else in all the other parts.
Nathan, where can people find you?
Oh, you can find me on social media at Nathan_Fode. You can, the second season of Our Flag Means Death just came out BBC on HBO iPlayer. Max. The first season is on BBC iPlayer.
So I watched it.
Watch my show New at Newark. It's on Now TV. And I'm Nathan.
And I'm Nathan. Yes, Nathan.
Also,
Bode,
if
everybody.
You're on Now TV, you can watch all three Lord of the Rings films. I recommend you.
And I'm in all of those as well.
No.
No.
No. Yeah. God, they were so young. Bloody hell.
Yeah,
I do think I look like Arwen, though.
Yeah, for sure. Mm. Yeah.
Who's Arwen?
Liv Tyler.
Liv Tyler.
Mm. We've got a stepmother skim time. Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. Bye, Nathan.
Bye, Nathan.
Thank you so much to our executive producers, Guy Goodman, Simon Moores, Mary Fox, Ali Tonner, Sarah Deacon, Oliver Jago, Anthony Conway, Matthew Thomas, and Madeline Quinn.
And thank you also to our producers, Richard Bicknell, L. Richard Bowles, Neil Redman, Victoria Hutchison, Harold Van Dyke, Tim and Dom, David Walker, Rachel R., Sadie Cashmore, Claire Owen Jones, Jess and Nick, Zoe, Sarah and Molly, Raya Fink, Cordelia, Rachel Page, Helen A., Tina, Lindsay Graham, Marsh, Amy O'Riordan, Abby Worf, Key Webb, Matt Sims, Luke Wright, Leah, Kate Spencer, Tristan, Liz Fort, Taz, Chloe, Becky Fock, Emily G., Dean Michael, Glennis Wood, Stephanie Catraccia, Sophie Chivers, Mark, Anthony.
Why won't you separate them?
Kerry Sooth,
I
Charlie.
I can't believe you did it 2 weeks in a row. Sorry, keep going. I believe in you. Sorry to the producers.
Kerry Sooth, Charlie A, KC, Haley Worf. Thank you all so much!
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.